Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Most of the candidates are not interested in giving us any detail about what they would do. They're more interested in beating on each other to try to get the nomination. My only comment is, if these people are serious, I would like to hear their detailed program that they would be pushing if they were president.
There's Frank, a talk radio caller in Colorado, who wants to hear the presidential candidates talk about what they actually intend to do if they're elected, rather than just spend all their time attacking President Obama and one another. So that's where we get started. Pretty interesting point. This is the next hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show, like they go on and on and on. I'm Doug Steffen. Let's begin by going over to Fox, where Megyn Kelly talked to political correspondent Carl Cameron about the debates on Monday, which may have reignited Michelle Bachmann's campaign.
The campaigns circulate these "she won" type memos, but there is a consensus emerging that she did help herself considerably last night.
Oh, no doubt about it, Megyn. She had been slipping in the polls. In fact, depending on the poll, she had literally lost half of her support in the last month. Since she won the Ames straw poll, Michelle Bachmann had been pretty much eclipsed by Rick Perry's entrance into the race and had really had a struggle. But last night, she came out swinging. She went after Rick Perry on his executive order that ultimately was overturned by lawmakers and that he has said was a mistake. But his executive order would have mandated that young girls in Texas be vaccinated against the HPV sexually transmitted disease, which is often associated with cervical cancer later in life. Bachmann was clearly very, very tough on Perry for that. She went after Mitt Romney on Romney's signature of health care, implementing a law that in Massachusetts ultimately became a model for Obamacare. And she continued to do that on a host of issues. She tweaked Mr. Perry on his immigration position, et cetera. She needed very much to change her trajectory and do something to sort of get unstalled in the polls. She's on her way to Arizona to do some fundraising tonight. She has to put some money in the bank. There has not been a lot of money coming in for Michelle Bachmann, despite her big win in that Ames straw poll, because of Perry's presence on the race. So by attacking Perry's conservatism, by questioning whether or not Romney is electable or would be a good opponent to President Obama having passed health care reform in Massachusetts, she is making the argument that she is ultimately a better conservative and more electable than the two frontrunners. We've yet to see what will happen in the polls. She has lost a lot of ground, and she's had to deal with the semi-departure of her campaign consultant, Ed Rollins. But for Michelle Bachmann, last night may prove to be a breakthrough moment. The question is whether she can now capitalize on it. Before the next debate, 9 days from now, hosted by Fox News Channel in Orlando, it will be a real Donnybrook. There's a lot of unfinished business from last night's debate that all the candidates are going to be addressing in the days ahead.
Well, let me ask you this, Carl. To what extent are we influenced by the audience and applause at the moment? Because that was obviously a Tea Party audience, and they are conservative in their leanings, and so is she. So are we to expect them to applaud, you know, certain lines from candidates like Bachmann or Perry, for that matter? And does that influence how we walk away saying, oh, she won or he won?
Every debate audience has partisans for individual candidates as well as for individual issues and issue positions. What probably was happening more last night was, rather than the crowd rooting on Bachmann, it was Bachmann really truly reading the crowd. She noted at the outset that she's the founder of the House Tea Party Caucus in Congress. She has really made the last 2.5 years of her political persona built around Tea Party activism and carrying their message to Washington. She casts herself as the Tea Party voice in Washington. So last night, by going after Rick Perry on the HPV vaccination, she was playing to what she referred to as part of the liberty component to American politics, suggesting that big government was intrusive on children and their parents in Texas. By going after Mitt Romney on his health care in Massachusetts, she was really making the point that Romney might be strong on business, Romney might cut a good profile as a politician, but when it comes to the principal issue of Obamacare, he's ill-equipped to go up against it.
Yeah, she was saying, look, I know this health care law. You can't undo it by executive order. You need somebody who's fully committed to having it repealed. She was saying, I am that person.
Coming up next, more opinions and reaction to Monday's debate as we check the facts on what the candidates had to say. That'll be interesting. And it's next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Hey, guys, let's face it. Prostate problems are no laughing matter, but the facts are that the older you get, the more likely it is you will have prostate problems. So if you're constantly waking up at night to go, or you can't sit through the game without feeling like you're gonna burst, then maybe it is time to do something. That's where the prostate formula from Real Health Laboratories comes in. For over 15 years, the prostate formula by Real Health Labs has been helping tens of thousands of men support normal prostate function and free urinary flow. This comprehensive formula captures the natural protective compounds and clinically studied ingredients that are known to help you maintain a healthy prostate and puts them to work for you. For a limited time, listeners of this radio station will receive a special offer by going to www.prostateformula.com. That's prostateformula.com. The Prostate Formula by Real Health is available at drugstores everywhere. Just look for the blue and white box. Sick and tired of being tired from getting up to go? Visit www.prostateformula.com to find out more.
Do you know someone who's having a birthday this month? Don't let the date sneak up and catch you unprepared. Have ProFlowers send beautiful birthday flowers. They make flower deliveries easy and affordable. And get this incredible radio special. Yours right now. 100 stunning birthday blooms plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Play it smart. Go online to ProFlowers.com. Look for the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code HURRY. Why overpay at a florist when you can get huge savings on one full 100 stunning birthday blooms for just $19.99 at ProFlowers. They'll even throw in a free vase. With a deal like this, you can take care of all the important people in your life and schedule that special birthday delivery weeks in advance. But hurry, this $19.99 birthday deal won't last forever. And the only way to get it is to go to ProFlowers.com. Look for the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code HURRY. One more time, write it down. ProFlowers.com. Secret code HURRY. Got it? ProFlowers.com. Secret code HURRY.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings.
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings.
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're gonna get some savings. Savings.
Much better.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The season is finally here, and the ultimate football fan deserves a bigger, better TV now. Sears has you covered. Buy a top-brand TV online and pick it up in store the same day. It's how Sears helps avoid delay-of-game penalties.
This week only at Sears, save $300 on a Sony 40-inch 120Hz LED TV with internet connectivity. Only $799.99. Plus, find out how to get 36-month special financing on a new home theater system.
It's the ultimate football experience, only at Sears.
See store or Sears.com for details. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii. Sale ends 9/17.
Talk Radio Countdown Show, and we are focused here on the 2012 presidential race. From NBC, Chris Jensen talked to Bill Adair, who is from PolitiFact. They did some fact-finding on some of the candidates' comments. Remember, MSNBC is on the left.
Let's start with Rick Perry and what he had to say about the stimulus.
He had $800 billion worth of stimulus in the first round of stimulus. It created zero jobs.
Zero jobs? True?
No, that one gets our lowest rating, pants on fire. This, you know, is just ridiculously false. Now, you can have a legitimate debate about whether the money spent on the stimulus was well spent, but to say that it created zero jobs is just ridiculously false. The independent studies have shown somewhere between 1.5 million and somewhere upwards of 3 million, so pants on fire for that one.
Yeah, I jumped ahead of myself thinking it was a general election debate, and I'm yelling at the TV. Tell him, that's not right. Tell him, but nobody did, of course. Let's talk about Michelle Bachmann, and of course, she always likes to bring up Obamacare.
We know that President Obama stole over $500 billion out of Medicare to switch it over to Obamacare. We also know that Medicare Hospital Trust Fund will be bankrupt within 9 years.
True or false?
Well, we were specifically looking at her claim that he stole the $500 billion from Medicare. We rated that mostly false. There's a little bit of truth to it in that Obama does use about $500 billion in savings from the future of Medicare, largely through savings from Medicare Advantage, to pay for the health care law. But it's just not true that he stole it. In fact, this provision was well debated in Congress and passed through the regular legislative process. process. So mostly false for that one.
All right. And let's talk about there are a lot of back and forth between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry. And it seemed at times as though Mitt Romney had actually memorized chunks of Rick Perry's book, didn't it? So let me play one of those instances.
The real issue is that in writing his book, Governor Perry pointed out that in his view, that Social Security is unconstitutional, that this is not something the federal government ought to be involved in, that instead it should be given back to the states.
Is that indeed what it says in the book?
It is. We were rating whether he said it was unconstitutional. We gave it a mostly true. Perry doesn't actually explicitly say that he believes Social Security is unconstitutional, but he comes pretty close. He talks about how it was sort of forced on the people, and so this one earned a mostly true on our truth-o-meter.
Talk host Britt Whitmire and Brad Krantz talk ABC's Sam Donaldson about the debate. Ron Paul and healthcare.
This is a question that was going to Ron Paul from Wolf Blitzer, and they're talking about healthcare. And this, to me, sort of encapsulates the healthcare debate that we have in America. Let's roll this.
Let me ask you this hypothetical question. A healthy 30-year-old young man has a good job, makes a good living, but decides, you know what, I'm not going to spend $200 or $300 a month for health insurance because I'm healthy, I don't need it. But, you know, something terrible happens, all of a sudden he needs it. Who's going to pay for it if he goes into a coma, for example? Who pays for that?
In a society that you accept welfareism and socialism, he expects the government to take care of
him. What do
you want? But what he should do is whatever he wants to do and assume responsibility for himself. And my advice to him would have a major medical policy, but not before.
But he doesn't have that. He doesn't have it, and he needs intensive care for 6 months. Who pays?
That's what freedom is all about, taking your own risk. This whole idea that you have to care and take care of everybody.
Congressman, are you saying the society should just let him die?
No. I practiced medicine before we had Medicaid.
Once again, the cogent part of this.
Are you saying the society should just let him die?
No.
Dr. Paul's saying no, but several people in the audience are screaming yes. Really.
Pull the plug.
I think that that's kind of the crux of the argument that we have in America today, don't you, Sam?
Well, I think this is a bloodthirsty crowd. Remember last week when Rick Perry talked about how, and I exaggerate, if you come down to Texas and jaywalk, we're going to fry you. I exaggerate. But, I mean, and they cheered and
well, they applauded his body
this
count.
This idea that...
They applauded his body count, which I believe was around 234 or something like that.
Yeah, this idea that people should die if they don't have sense enough to take care of themselves is one I think in 2011 we've come a little farther than that. We don't let people commit suicide if we can stop it, even though it's freedom, right? Jump off the ledge as long as you don't splatter someone on the sidewalk. No, we say that's not what society is about. Mm-hmm. But again, there are people in this country, and you heard him last night, except I noted that during the recent floods in the Midwest, I was watching a program in which they were interviewing people. And first of all, this was a political show, and people were saying, we're Tea Partyites, and here they've been flooded out. What do they want? They want government assistance.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
Mm. On my Facebook page, someone whose name I will not say on the air because I just don't want to make him feel good that I said his name, but he linked to a piece in the American Spectator that attacks Ron Paul as the biggest hypocrite ever. But there he was, Mr. Libertarian, Mr. Free Market, Mr. Let the Chips Fall Where They May. But as a doctor, he'd taken the Hippocratic Oath and knew damn well that he could not get up there as a doctor and say, let the guy die. He couldn't do it, which I guess is to his credit, but it's one thing to have principles and run and be a hero to free market Ayn Rand types, but then there's another thing. It's called living real life.
Well, that's what I meant about the flood disaster in the Midwest. Too often, I think all of us, we pop off when we're not personally involved. We don't have a selfish interest, and we all let this person pull themselves up by the bootstraps or this, that, and the other. Then when it comes to us, oh, wait a moment. No. See, that's Rick Perry's problem with Social Security.
Does Rick Perry have a problem with Social Security? That's up next here on the Talk Radio Review.
Hello.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
As you know, talk radio and talk television, the sort of new media is what we are focused on, and what the conversation is surrounding the 2012 presidential race, Republican side. Here's radio man Jay Weber with a focus on the debate and all the attacks on Rick Perry.
Michelle Bachmann, Mitt Romney, and the rest of the dais came hard after Rick Perry because he's the front runner. And they left him with some dents and some chinks in the armor this time. It just wasn't Rick Perry's night. Not that it was ruinous. I don't think this knocks him out of contention or anything. But if he is going to be the presidential victor here, if he's going to be the presidential contender on the GOP side of the aisle, he just has to clean some things up, and he has to clean up his debating style here. One of the biggest questions that is going to linger over Rick Perry now, thanks to Romney's attack and the press attacks on this, is what does Rick Perry intend to do with Social Security? And you'd think that Rick Perry would have a more clear plan by now. You'd think that he and his handlers would decide, look, we just have to get on top of this. And we have to get on top of this early. We don't have to know everything about everything. We don't have to have a strong position on every single issue right now. But we have to know what we're talking about when it comes to Social Security. You'd think that his handlers would have grilled him 15 times over with Social Security questions. He should have been prepared for the question that he had to know was coming his way. And yet he wasn't. He had to know it was coming. Governor Perry, in your book, Fed Up, you suggest that Social Security should be turned over to the states. Do you still believe that? He had to know it was coming, and yet he flubbed it.
Two talk hosts now, Mike Moss and Bruce Allen, talking with John King from CNN about the debate and how the candidates are attacking each other more than they're going after the president.
John, I know you were able to grab Michelle Bachmann. I was watching you immediately after that debate to find out whether she had been able to resurrect her effort to become the nominee of the Republican Party. What was your sense about whether she had been able to get back in there in the same breath as Governor Perry is in there and Governor Romney is in there?
I suspect she did herself well. Inside that hall with the Tea Party voters in the room, she did very well. And she has been struggling. Since Governor Perry got in, he has eclipsed her, and he's taking away a lot of her conservative, especially Tea Party support. So you had a fascinating dynamic last night. You had Governor Perry under attack in many ways. The Social Security debate that started in the NBC debate was just crackling last night, with Governor Romney leading it, but the others jumping in as well. And I think what's interesting, let's watch what happens in the polling among Republican voters, especially Tea Party conservatives, in the next week or two. Governor Perry came under attack for mandating that, you know, teenage girls get this vaccine in Texas. It was only briefly. He backed off because the legislature opposed him, but he admitted that was a mistake, and that is anathema to the Tea Party people, the government telling you what you must do, and his views on immigration, where illegal immigrants' children can get, you know, state college tuition rates inside Texas. Again, anathema to Tea Party and many conservative voters. Perry leads in the polls because people think he's the tough guy, the guy they want in the debate against President Obama. Now that the Tea Party people are being exposed to more of his record and some things they disagree with, will they have a second thought about that? And will Bachman benefit? Will Romney benefit? That's my question this morning.
Yeah, they all lit into him on the immigration stuff.
Immigration is still, a lot of people will say, well, isn't immigration down? Didn't President Obama send more troops to the border? All the statistics say the problem is not as bad as it was 3 or 4 years ago. Don't try telling that to a Tea Party voter anywhere in America. I moderated a luncheon with a group of them here yesterday, and they view it as an urgent crisis, and that's their view. And you can disagree with it, but they get a vote, and that's what they think. So that could hurt Perry some.
Be interesting to measure how much the candidates are hurting each other now ahead of, because they really didn't pay much attention to Barack Obama last night.
Much less so on the economy. That's a fascinating point. I think because of the stakes of this race, number one, Perry jumped ahead so quickly, the others realized we got to try to take him down some. It has become a passionate Republican race. And Ronald Reagan's old, you know, 11th commandment, thou shalt not criticize another Republican. Well, that one's gone into the dust heap at the moment. But that's because of the stakes of this race. Number one, because Perry jumps ahead, and a lot of the others think we need to bring him down a notch quickly before the cement takes hold. And number two, because they increasingly realize President Obama's vulnerable. Being the Republican nominee next year is a very valuable chip. It always is, don't get me wrong. But look at all the economic data. Look at all the struggles. This is a race Republicans can win, so that's a big prize.
Up next, we shift our focus to look at the latest from Afghanistan. That's next on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit Barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/backup.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Making the transition back to civilian life or active duty with a traumatic injury can be the challenge of a lifetime. The USO provides every American a way to support our wounded warriors and their families through every phase of their medical treatment and rehabilitation. It's how all of us, as a community, can give something back to our heroes. It's how we can say thank you and assure them that their sacrifice is recognized and appreciated by every one of us. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families. The USO, until everyone comes home.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
This guy,
white woman to this game.
Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys, which have the capacity to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. ProtoGrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners who want to grow dirt-cheap superfoods should visit the ProtoGrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
All right, let's continue with the countdown. Here's Suzanne Malvo, a reporter in Kabul, and the situation in an attack by the Taliban on the U.S. Embassy took place this week.
About a mile or so away from where this is, Kabul City, as you know, this is really at the heart of, the capital of Afghanistan. What happened about 2 hours from eyewitnesses as well as Afghan police is that a group of guys in a vehicle pulled up across from the embassy. They jumped out. They had small arms, grenades. They started shooting, attacking the embassy. We have heard from an embassy spokesperson who's talked to a CNN producer several times. She cannot give us a lot of information because she says they are in a duck and cover mode. They are essentially taking cover, hunkering down at the embassy as they are being fired upon. There are choppers in the area. There have been Afghan police, the army, the International Security Assistance Force, all of them involved in trying to protect the embassy. We know that the Taliban has called a CNN producer and confirmed that they're responsible, releasing the statement saying we attacked Kabul City, our target, the U.S. embassy, governmental organizations, and other foreign organizations. We are prepared with heavy and light weapons such as grenade and rocket-pelled grenades as well. Now, what we understand is that they are trying to figure out how many there are that are involved here. It's about a one-mile square area that is on lockdown. From where we are, we have heard small arms fire. We've heard grenade explosions. There was a guy in a vehicle who essentially was telling people, get back in your homes. People have tried to kind of move on and take their lives as normally as they can this afternoon. But clearly there is a lot of uncertainty. And this is really part of a larger strategy from the Taliban. This is hardly a soft target. This is one of the most secure areas, if you can imagine here. The U.S. Embassy, I was just there a couple days ago for the 9/11 anniversary, and there are all kinds of international security forces, Afghan security, that are around that building that are responsible for securing it. This is to show that they can strike. They can strike at the heart of some of the most important institutions. So right now we are still kind of in a wait-and-see mode whether or not these guys, these insurgents who've taken responsibility are going to be captured, whether or not they're going to be killed. We do have information that there are two people injured who have been taken to a local hospital. But right now there is still a significant area that is on lockdown as they try to figure out what is going on right outside the embassy.
From our countdown affiliate WDEL in Wilmington, Alan Laudell talks to correspondent Jerry Van Dyke about the Taliban attack and the impact it's likely to have on the president's decision to draw down the troops there.
The U.S. Embassy in Kabul, or at least the area around it, comes under attack. Rockets fired in that direction. Taliban claims responsibility. CBS News, Afghanistan-Pakistan consultant Jerry Van Dyke, what does it mean?
What it means is that everything that the U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker and the new U.S. General Allen are saying about the Taliban being anxious to negotiate, that they are winning the war, that in time that we're going to be able to draw down effectively, is not the case at all. The goal in Afghanistan, the seat of power of what the Taliban really want, is Kabul. It's not Kandahar. And what we're seeing here is that in spite of everything that the United States is saying, that the most secure part, supposedly, of Afghanistan is certainly not secure at all, and that the Taliban can penetrate to the very heart of the most secure part of the city, and that is the U.S. Embassy. You cannot get near. You have to go through two streets away. You have to go through checkpoints to get to the embassy.
So by metaphor, is this the Taliban trying to launch a Tet Offensive?
That's the word that came to my mind this morning when I first read about this. I don't think it's as clearly as effective as Tet was apparently back in 1968, but this, again, what we've had is an attack on the Intercontinental Hotel, most oldest, venerable Western institution, if you will, in Afghanistan back in June. Then you had, in August, you had the attack very close to the day of independence, it was August 19th and August 18th, from the British on the British Council. And now you have, just 2 days after 9/11, you have the Taliban attacking the U.S. Embassy. This is all done by one group, former U.S. ally during the 1980s, the Haqqani Group, which can penetrate clearly throughout the country and right into the heart of the nation.
So it means that the U.S. stay in Afghanistan is either protracted or we really do hang it up and go.
And that is the question. How are we going to leave that country in such a way so that, as Ambassador Ryan Crocker said, again, and this is the same thing that President Bush said, the same thing that President Obama has been saying, and his envoy, Mark Grossman, who replaced Richard Holbrooke, just said a few months ago, we want to be certain that Afghanistan does not again become a place from which attacks can be launched on us by al-Qaeda. The group responsible for all of these attacks in Kabul is the Haqqani Network, which is the closest group to al-Qaeda.
All right, what do we have next? You'll find out. Maybe the president and the jobs bill. That'd be a good focus on the countdown as we continue.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Call 1-800-864-4031. Don't wait another day. Call 1-800-864-4031. That's 1-800-864-4031.
Time, ladies and gentlemen, for the million bottle giveaway. You heard right. 1 million bottles of something that will protect that which is near and dear to both men and women. Men, your prostate, your well-being, your life. Women, intimacy, and a good night's rest. It starts with
taking the Master Prostate Formula. It starts now by your calling 800-716-6520. Master Prostate has 12 key ingredients shown to promote healthy prostate function, help you get a good night's rest. It's all natural. The best part is you can get a free bottle, part of the Master Prostate Million Bottle Giveaway. Just pay a small shipping and handling fee, and your bottle is on its way. 800-716-6520. Call that now. Get a good night's rest. Take my word for it. Master Prostate is incredible. Try it now. Free. The free bottle offer won't last. Call now. 800-716-6520.
That, my friends, is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your quest to find the perfect brand new car. I know, because, well, I'm inside your head, and I'm here to say, stop, you're giving me the headache. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com had brand spanking new cars hot off the assembly line. Well, now you do. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars and all their showroom glory side by side, even special offers. That way, your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart has itself set on a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants something smart, practical, with good gas mileage. And while your heart wants to make the neighbors drool, your head wants to make sure you're getting the best new car deal out there. Well, would you look at that? A brand new, never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. Go ahead, hold that head of yours high. Just tell me when you're going to do it first. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Have you ever wanted OnStar, but it didn't come with your car? Well, all that's changed. Introducing OnStar FMV, a mirror you can add to your car. So drive your Ford, your Toyota, your Honda to Best Buy, and you can drive away with automatic help in a crash, stolen vehicle and roadside assistance, navigation, Bluetooth, and more. The wait is over. Get it installed on your car today. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, subscription details, and stores near you.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show, the President's Jobs Bill, is a DOA from ABC, George Stephanopoulos, with Obama advisor David Axelrod. The focus, of course, on the jobs plan, and Axelrod will tell you it's the best thing money could buy.
The president was putting out how he was going to pay for this jobs plan that he introduced last week, and it was pretty clear from listening to Republicans in Congress yesterday that that's not going to go very, very far. Is the president willing to take a piece of his plan, say simply the extension of the payroll tax cuts, rather, or is it all or nothing?
George, the president has a package. The package works together. We need to do many things to get this economy moving and people back to work, not just one thing. And tokenism isn't enough. We want them to pass the plan. The American people want them to pass the plan. We don't want to play games. We don't want to engage in brinksmanship. We want to put people back to work. This package will do that. They ought to act now.
So it's all or nothing.
We want them to act now on this package. We're not in a negotiation to break up the package, and it's not an a la carte menu. It is a strategy to get this country moving.
Let's talk about Social Security. Rick Perry has been on the defensive over his claims in his book. He said he thought Social Security was unconstitutional, was a failure. Last night, though, he changed his tune. He said there's a slam dunk guarantee of benefits for everyone on Social Security or nearing retirement. Did he fix the Social Security problem he has?
Well, I don't know. What's interesting to me is all the sudden, Republicans are very passionate about Social Security. I hadn't heard Mitt Romney speak that way before Rick Perry got into the race. I don't know if he fixed his problem. I think they should focus on the main problem, which is how do we get people back to work, and how in the long term do we create security for the middle class? You know, 2 hours, not one word about education, except that they would break up the Department of Education and eliminate it. 10 minutes on whether or not we should have created Social Security in the first place. Nothing on education, which is so central to our ability to compete in the future. It's really mind-boggling.
The president's facing a tough situation, as you know. 43% approval rating right now. 77% of Americans think we're on the wrong track. That's tough for an incumbent president. When you look at those kind of numbers, is the president matched up better against Rick Perry or Mitt Romney?
Well, at the end of the day, obviously they have differences, but in the main, they support the same kinds of things, George. They have this. They basically support the same economic theory that got us into the mess in the first place: tax cuts for the wealthy, special interest tax breaks for corporations like oil companies, and letting Wall Street essentially write its own rules. I don't think the American people believe there's greater security in that for them economically and a better future for this country. So either way, the debate is going to be largely the same.
Talk host Dave Gentry and Elizabeth Hess with Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois about what he thinks regarding the jobs bill.
I was amazed at the tone of Eric Cantor after the president's speech.
Well, I tell you what, if folks went home like I did, I hope they did, they understand people back home are pretty fed up with Congress. Let's put the cards on the table here. They say 12% of the American people approve of Congress. I'd question that. I don't think we have 12% of the people who are relatives, and that's the only folks I know who are saying anything good about us. You know, it boils down to this. We're in a terrible economic situation, and squabbling out here and pointing fingers and getting ready for an election campaign 14 months away just doesn't cut it back home. People want to know what we're doing, and that's what the president said. I think it was the right message.
So you think this is actually soaking in what the public's been saying to Congress?
I absolutely do, because 6 weeks ago, look where we were. We were tied up on this Tea Party standoff over the debt ceiling for the first time in, what, 72 years? There was a serious question as to whether the United States would default on its debt. And look what happened. Standard & Poor's downgraded the credit rating of the United States for the first time in its history and said to the politicians in Washington, for goodness sakes, grow up and act like adults. You've got a recession on your hands. Get serious about that and the deficit. And I think that was a message. And I think a lot of folks who went back home got it.
And well, when the president scheduled this joint session or wanted to for Wednesday, the night of a Republican debate, do you feel that was a bit of a faux pas on the president's part?
Hey, come on. We had another Republican debate last night. It seems like there's one every 3 days. I mean, we can't stop the business of our nation or government while these folks get up and decide who's they're going to punch the leading contender for the Republican nomination. You know, I want to give them their due, but for goodness sake, this is an historic moment. They're having one of these debates every 4 days.
And, Senator, on your website, which we always love to reference, durbin.senate.gov, we have a statement from you about the president challenging Congress to work together about the jobs plan. It's a good plan, you say, a fair plan, and is fully paid for. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would like to talk about it, because the president came out yesterday and said, here's how we'll pay for it and not add a penny to the deficit. And what it boils down to is saying that the people who have done the best in America, who are the most comfortable, who aren't living paycheck to paycheck, have to pay a little more in taxes. The oil companies that are registering the biggest profits in the history of American business will no longer be subsidized by the federal government to the extent they are today, and that some of the deductions we have for corporate jets that we give to people just may have to be trimmed back a little. You know, when we talk about shared sacrifice, and a lot of families listening to your show know what I'm talking about here, for goodness sakes, those who are doing well off in America, the companies that are the most profitable have got to pitch in so that people can get tax cuts for working families and small businesses can get a fighting chance to be profitable. I think it's a good combination.
On the radio, Mike Violette and Ken Altshuler with ABC's Ann Compton about the president hitting the road to drum up support for the jobs bill.
So the president hitting the road, going to a battleground state, as I believe I heard somebody reference it to, it always is, that is Ohio, to start selling the jobs bill. What's the MO there?
Well, you know, this is something that last Thursday night when he spoke under the Capitol Dome and put out this jobs program, he's making the rounds of state capitals in states where he won 3 years ago and where he absolutely needs to win this coming year. He went first to Richmond, Virginia, today Columbus, Ohio, and tomorrow it'll be Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, what each stop he is focusing on one aspect of his jobs bill. Today he wants construction crews put to work by repairing 35,000, yes, you've got that number right, 35,000 American schools, bringing them up to date. But here's where he has lost some ground in the last 24 hours. The actual legislation that he emailed to Capitol Hill late yesterday is paid for by raising taxes on wealthier Americans over $200,000 or $250,000 a year. Basically, one of his proposals, take away their tax deductions for things such as presumably mortgages or interest or for their charitable deductions. That's not only a non-starter with Republicans in Congress, a lot of Democrats say no as well.
You know, when the president goes to do these speeches, of course, he's preaching to the converted. The people there are supporters of him. So how does he think that translates into the American public buying into his plan?
Well, that's a really good question, because I believe he's going to state capitals, because that's where you can garner the most intense statewide local news coverage. He's not going there to make network news stories. He's going there to make stories all across the state of Ohio. And he's also going, because as he said in the Rose Garden here yesterday, he's asking Americans, grassroots Americans, to let Congress know they want a jobs bill. He said yesterday, you should email or pick up the phone, dust off the fax, or hire a skywriter to let your member of Congress know you want jobs.
Up next, the ongoing financial problems at the post office. That ought to be pretty good. And it's next here on The Countdown.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
OpsGear is your source for head-to-toe tactical gear. Save 15% on your order right now. This week only, radio listeners get their choice of OpsGear t-shirts for just $11.99. We've got shirts for military, law enforcement, zombie hunters, veterans, infidels, shooters, and more. Check them out at OpsGear.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout. That's GCN, and save big on our exclusive t-shirts. Plus, we give away great gear each week. Visit us at OpsGear.com. That's OPSGEAR.com, or call 888-239-1384.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Problems at the post office. You're getting mail every day, okay? From NBC Joe Scarborough talking with Congressman Daryl Issa of California. He's got a plan to save the post office.
You're a small business person. How do you create jobs in America? And what has the president sent to Capitol Hill today that you can agree with?
Well, certainly, I think that some of the efforts to try to do what we didn't do in the stimulus, which is to deal with some of our crumbling infrastructure, needs to be looked at seriously. But I think on a bigger note, government needs to realize it's been part of the problem. And as you said, I'm concerned about the post office. It's going to lose $10 billion. A lot of Washingtonian think tanks are saying, well, okay, we'll just do a bailout. We'll just, you know, fudge the figures. And we can't really keep doing that. This is an organization that can be profitable, that can meet all of its responsibilities, but it's going to have to right-size its workforce if it's going to do it. We're not talking about pay cuts, but we are talking about people being retired that are no longer needed, because you and I are emailing far more than paper mailing.
So how many people are you going to push out, and what impact is that going to have for me to be able to mail a letter to anybody I want to mail a letter to in America?
Well, for universal service is part of the mandate, and we think that's extremely important that it be maintained. But there are over 140,000-150,000 postal workers who are fully eligible for retirement. You add those who will retire over the next several years, you can get the 200,000 or so excess workers off the payroll without having to do punitive measures. More importantly, we have a responsibility. The post office, for Joe, since you were here, has a mandate to be self-sufficient in all senses, including it has to pay in to its own retirement, something that they'd like to redo the figures, but the fact is, you and I both know that if you redo it with a federal backstop, you and I will be paying for it the way we paid for so many others, including railroad retirement and so on.
Here are our hosts Nick Reed and Courtney Williams with the Postal Service in the focus. Maybe the time has come to shut the whole thing down.
The post office is a weird institution in the sense that it's well, for the longest time, it ran off its own funding. I believe it was in the 80s that it began going Amtrak-ish and started taking taxpayer dollars. But it's not run by the government, but it's mandated by the Constitution, actually. It's a very strange setup. There aren't really setups like this anywhere else in our country. And it was actually set up a form of delivery system well before the Continental Congress. But it was around 1775 that it was pretty much established as a post office. And as I mentioned, it's actually written into the Constitution that Congress shall make sure that there are post office routes and post offices, and this is why Congress is involved in it. Benjamin Franklin was the first post office master. And in the last, I mean, it seems like my lifetime, at least that I remember. I remember hearing about the post office losing money, raising the stamps and lose money. And, you know, what are we going to do? And we need money from the government. Well, it has gotten to the point now where the raising of stamps is no longer going to be able to do it. The raising of the price of stamps is just not going to cut it anymore. The revenue losses are way too massive. And I think most people understand why this is. People don't have to use the mail like they once used the mail. I mean, think about it. I can tell you myself, I don't send a single... I don't use the mail to pay a single bill anymore. I just don't. Do you still use it for
something? The only time I do is when I get something in the mail from the doctor's office and I have to pay the hospital.
Most people don't use it. Elderly people probably do. But even they don't always do it. I don't send out... I'm trying to... I could tell you the last time, and probably, is it the only time? I think the only time in the last couple of years that I actually sent off something in the mail was because I had to send, it had to do with the IRS, and because I lived in Wisconsin a couple years, and for that particular year I was only half a resident, it did not allow me to use TurboTax for it. It was something I had to actually physically send off.
Whatever you're thinking, you can find out more, add to your thoughts, with the complete and concise coverage of items on the countdown at DougStephan.com.